You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puff and Stuff. Push your bend when things get rough. HR Puff and Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
You guys still good on time?
I'm getting sleepy.
What time is it?
9:45.
I'm getting hungry.
Because
and sleepy.
Because I want us to have, like, to do something for, like, October. So
okay.
my original concept was having, it could be a short episode of, you know, our favorite horror movies from each one of the different decades. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I suggested that. And I don't think it's got to be a long episode. It doesn't have to be as long as this one. But just something that's quickly talking about our favorite scary horror movie from 70s. And then we record a next time we meet, we record 80s. And the time after that, 90s. Then we have something for each week of October.
Okay.
So that's my thought process, if you guys are down. But if you're tired,
and
I mean, would you be able to quickly bang out talking about our favorite horror movies? We're not going top three, just favorite.
It's tough to do on just the 70s, but I'm in.
Okay. Rose, you going to be able to make it without food for another, say, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes?
I don't know, bruh. I'm pretty damn hungry. No,
wow. You are hungry. She does need some food.
That was such a fucked up.
No idea where the hell that accent came from.
Think you're going to be able to make it without food for the next 20 minutes? God damn, Dave. You're a beast, man.
I am. I'm the overlord.
You fucking are. That was horrible. I hate you.
So you're saying no?
I can do it, okay? Chill.
All right. Okay, all right. Well, I just want to get started because somebody's getting sleepy and you're hungry and, we can jump right in.
Okay.
So this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey.
And Scott.
Hello, everybody.
And on this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to start giving you a little bit of content for Creepy October. And this is our way of going to step through the decades. And we're going to start with an episode where we talk about our favorite horror movie from the 1970s. We'll follow this up with a 1980s episode and then a 1990s. So you'll get your retro horror fix from us this month because you will be listening to this in the great month of October in preparation for All Hallows Eve. So I'll get us started. And really what we want to do is, like I said, talk about our favorite horror movie from the 1970s. So there's a lot of great movies that came out during that time period that are classified as horror. But I want to pick on the King Daddy movie of them all. The one that really scared the shit out of a lot of kids so they wouldn't even go in the ocean again. Jaws. This movie worked its magic on me, and I didn't even want to take a bath. So, because I just knew Jaws was going to come out and get me, and it's like, you couldn't convince me otherwise. It's like, you know, I'd be crying, like, no, Mom, I'm not taking a shower. Are you serious? Jaws is there. I know he is. So and then also I grew up in Florida, so you know there was you had many beaches. And you just knew that, you know, there was a shark out there just waiting and, you know, waiting to grab you and take you away. But revisiting the movie throughout the years, you know, and seeing some of the classic scenes like, you know, we need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so well done. It was just so well done. And it was a beautiful piece of cinematography and horror history. I just love this movie for what it's represented throughout the years. But as a kid back then, it hit exactly the notes it needed to hit to scare the crap out of me. And so I love me some Jaws. So Rose, what about you on Jaws?
Jaws was the shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't have been more excited about watching a rubber shark jump out of the water and kill people than if you would have told me there was free ice cream. I was just in love with that movie. I saw it in a theater when it first came out. I remember I used to go to the theater. My grandma would send me like every other week. It was like $2 to get in. And I can't remember what I saw that week, but I remember they would put the previews of next week up into the movie poster holder on the outside. And I remember the guy, the manager, he's like, "We got Jaws next week, Rose." I'm like, "Oh, man." He goes, "It's supposed to be really good." He's like, "The management's already told me that if people want their money back, then I'm not supposed to give it back to them if they get that scared." I'm like, "Seriously?" He goes, "Yeah, this is supposed to be a really big deal." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I like begged my grandma, "Oh my God, Jaws is coming out. She's like, "No, you don't need to go see no damn rubber shark tearing people on the water." And it was just like, I was devastated. And it was just like, "Everybody's going to see Jaws. I'm not going to see Jaws. I'm going to see Jaws if I want to." And then they held it over another week. They were fighting the people off. They were like sold out every fucking night. People were coming back and coming back and coming back to see it. And I was just like, "Oh my God, we're going to see Jaws." Because it was my week to go to the movies. So then, I got my $2. I like ran to the movie theater. It was like four blocks away. You know, I ran. I was just like, get my ticket. And I went in there and it's like, pull. Everybody's in there. I was like, "Oh my God, I got the last seat." I didn't, but you know, it seemed like that. I was 16, whatever. And I just sat there and there was no, I would have been so much cooler if I had money for popcorn, because I'd be like one of those people like, big eyes, crushing the popcorn in my mouth, you know. And it's just like from start to finish, you know, it was just like, "Oh my God, she's going to die, isn't she?" Spoiler alert. you know, from every single character that had brought something to the table, they all had their own unique way of portraying their characters. I had just seen... Close Encounters of the Third Kind? That was later. I saw Richard Dreyfuss in something. I knew who he was. I liked him. He was great. And he was the snarky, you know, marine biologist, which is awesome. And, you know, everybody was great. So it seemed like it was a low budget film for the most part, because some of the actors are kind of like maybe locals. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter, because, you know, the duel at the end with the big shark was what everybody was waiting for, because you know it was going to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and the fact that they managed to eke out, like, what, 5 more of those?
Never, I don't even know how many they made.
Failed in comparison to the first one. They should have just stopped. There's just no way.
And the music is so iconic, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How often do you do that? You know, when you want to symbolize something that's traumatic and something is going to happen that you're never going to forget. You know, people will be like, oh, stop that. I hate that music. It's like, no, it's great. It's awesome. You know, it all worked. And I know it was like a shit ton of problems going on, and it was like over budget, and then the shark didn't work, and then it did, and then it didn't. But yeah, it's great. Love it.
So what about you, Scott? Jaws?
Never saw it.
Yeah, I figured.
Just kidding. No, it was. It was. Okay, Bella, come here. Sorry, my dog.
She wants to be on the show. That's great. Cool.
No, it was. It was such. It was so well done, suspense wise. Just because of they really never showed the shark until like a good, you know, hour and 15 minutes in, until you really had to see it. They implied its ferocity and monstrosity and scariness, and just they did a really good job of building the whole building the suspense, especially with that freaking music.
Yeah.
Music is that's one of the most powerful it's one of the most powerful uses of music to build suspense. You know, you go back to, I don't know, like Psycho was a good example of early stuff where they, you know, built, you know, use music to make it suspenseful. But man, Jaws, they just took it to another level. And it was so, it's so bizarre, because it's just, it's two notes over and over with a building pace. I mean, it's really, it's so well done. And, you know, you just can't wait to really see the shark when they finally do get it to, you know, to the point where, you know, there he is, large and in charge. And I remember when, not too long after this movie came out, we went to Universal Studios, and they had a part in, you know, you get on the tram and you go through all the different movie scenes, and Psycho was actually one of them too.
The backlot tour.
Yeah, backlot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of it is where the tram goes down into this little gully, and Jaws comes and starts attacking, or it's sitting, you're sitting like on the edge of a dock, and Jaws comes up and just starts attacking the dock, and the tram driver or whatever has to shoot him or something. And it was just so well done. So yeah, Jaws is great. Great stuff.
Yeah, I think anytime that a movie can build suspense without actually showing what's going on, you know, I mean, that's like right out of the playbook for Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, he was a master, and you know, to pull that off, is beautiful. It's just it amps it up, and then there's finally the payoff when you see this menacing shark, and you're like, shit. So, it's awesome. It's very awesome. So, Rose, what is your favorite 1970s horror movie?
There's so many.
Once again, you gotta pick just one.
I know. And I just, you know, I picked three only because the 70s was probably the best time for horror movies for me before they became slasher films.
Yeah.
Well, there's different types of horror, but the 80s is really kind of killed it for me as far as horror movies, because they were, yeah, everybody had a big knife or knife hands or knife whatever. You were a knife. I don't know. And you sliced people to death. But it started to lose its magic after a while. But to me, the scariest thing to me is when it doesn't involve knives or guns or bombs. When you have, because I'm a religious person, not religious, but I believe in God. I also believe in Satan, because apparently you can't have one without the other. And while The Exorcist scared the crap out of me, and I only saw it the one time, The Omen basically was like, okay, I'm done. I am never watching another devil-possessed movie ever again. Now you got little kids that, you know, fucking can't even talk and they're not going to school and, you know, they're the spawn of Satan and they're killing people. That's not cool. So not cool. But they did this, I think this movie, okay, I'm going to make this statement and then I'm going to follow it up with another statement. This movie could have went horribly wrong. Kind of like they did when they rebooted it and remade it later. I mean, I watched that and I was like, seriously? Yeah, this all you got. Okay, you should have just left it alone. But it had amazing cast. Gregory Peck plays Robert. Damien is his son, played by Harvey Stevens. And then, of course, his mom, Lee Remick. I mean, Lee Remick, Gregory Peck, big names, movies, TV, etc. And it's just... to me, it kind of picks up where Rosemary's Baby left off, mm-hmm. You know, because I wasn't allowed to see that movie because of the content. And I don't know if they ever, and I still haven't seen it in its entirety to this day. So I don't know if they actually show the baby, you know, when she says, oh, my God, what do they do to you? You know, what have you done to him? And et cetera, et cetera. So I think when they did The Omen, it's just like, well, let's just have him like look normal, like an everyday child would be walking down a street causing people to throw themselves off of buildings and shit like that. But it just, the fact that it even goes further to say that, you know, he has to go like now to another country because he doesn't understand what's going on, so he has to go and find a priest, and then something happened in the hospital and some lady changed the baby and it's a different baby and it's not their baby. You know, it was just like, wow, this is really getting in depth, which is what I think it needed, because I don't think you could just say, hey, I had a devil child and now he's killing people. Well, how did that happen? Well, you know, Bob's a bit of a dick. No. But the fact that they went through all of this, you know, elaborate storytelling to know that, you know, it had to be born a certain way and, you know, the nun or some woman or whoever it is she was that came in and stole the baby and replaced it with another baby. And then they showed the child that they took from them, you know, they... I think he even like dug it up and opened the coffin and it was his kid and he got sick and, you know, it was just a lot of shit to go through, you know, and he basically, everybody was telling him, kill him. He's the Antichrist. You gotta do him in. Yeah. I know he's five, but you know, just take this knife and stab him in the heart. You'll feel better. So, and he was going to do it. He was totally going to do it. And, you know, Damien looks up at him. He's like, Daddy, you hurt me. It's just like, oh, shit. You know, you're not supposed to do that. Your head's supposed to spin around or something, you know. And he doesn't do it. Spoiler alert. And it just kind of leaves you on the edge of your seat going, what the fuck? What's he going to do now? So in a sense, that kind of maybe needed a sequel. I don't think it needed to be redone completely, but, you know, having the sequel kind of gives you an idea of what transpired afterwards. But freaked me out. It's just like, you know, this is not an advocacy for procreation. Trust me. I do not want to have children now because a lady could come in and steal my baby and replace it with the devil. So that was, like I said, so many that were great, but this is the best one for me.
Okay, Scott, you got anything on The Omen? Yeah.
Yeah, it's always had one of the most, just one of the creepiest scenes that I remember growing up during that, you know, during the 70s and the early 80s, and seeing it. I don't remember when I actually saw the movie, but because that was 76, I was only 8 years old, so I probably really didn't see it until I was maybe 11 or 12, and it might have been by accident. but the scene where the babysitter jumps off of the house roof and hangs herself, it's just it's a memorable scene that freaks me out. It's just really bizarre. Damien, I did this for you or something like that, or
this is all for you, Damien.
This is all for you, Damien. Yeah, and she jumps and just and from a distance, you know, you can. It's actually a long distance that they shoot this scene from, that she jumps and you just see her body snap with the rope around the neck. I mean, it's just really just creepy. So yeah, I remember it being a very weird movie. And whatever happened to that kid? Did he go on to do more acting, or was he pigeonholed as Damien for the rest of his life?
I don't know. I think I want to say he grew up.
Harvey Stevens. Yeah. Let's see what we have him at. He's only got 3 credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Omen being 2 of them. He was the tabloid reporter in 2006.
In the Omen.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Nice little cameo there.
Yeah, and then whatever Goguen the Savage is.
Yeah, no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played young Emil. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I remembered more of The Omen. I just remember like little bits and pieces. Wasn't there something to do with baboons in this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the sequence.
Yeah.
But like they were attacking a car or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm remembering the right movie then. I want to make sure I wasn't transposing my memory, you know, to another movie. And then I think that didn't Damien also have, like, Rottweilers that were guard dogs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They were
okay.
Devil dogs. But he got
fascination
for him.
Yeah. Hounds of hell.
Yep.
So did Rottweilers really become, like, the devil dogs after this movie, or was this okay? So I didn't know if that was like a thing before then.
No, everybody wanted them, and then, you know, they didn't know how to handle them, which is really kind of shit because Rottweilers are beautiful animals and they're
big softies, really. They really are. And my cousins have had a couple over the years, and they're just the biggest. Soft dog. They're so funny. They're lovable and sweet and really not kind of like Dobermans. Dobermans are the same way. They're just big lovers and
they just
look intense because I think they've been portrayed that way in the movies
and
TV and whatnot. So
as long as you don't get the ones that are possessed, you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it says something on their collar and their tag. That's not
You have to look for like something that says like 666 on it or something.
Yeah,
like, avoid those. Don't get those.
Red is possessed. Yeah, yeah.
Well, now you just gotta take them to the vet and get the chip read. You know, the chip. See if it has, you know, the number of the beast built in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. You probably get maybe like a little hand scanner or something. I'm sure it's I'm sure they'll come out with an app soon that can do that.
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea, dude.
Well, there you go. That's my $1 million idea right there.
It really is.
Touching.
Shh. Okay, we got to edit that part out.
Somebody build that, like, now, and then we'll market it. We'll go on Shark Tank, and we're all good. Yeah. All right, so that was Rose's pick. We're over to Scott. Favorite movie from 1970s.
This was really tough to do. Like, at first, I'm like, I don't even know. You know, there's I love a lot of the 80s ones, but I started looking at some of the movies from back then, and there's a couple of obscure ones that I know that nobody will know of. So it's really hard to pick my absolute favorite, and I guess I got to go with Halloween.
Okay.
It's a landmark for slasher movies, right? I mean, it's like I refer back to Psycho again, the original slasher movie, really. And then this was the next progression for that. And then from there on, man, it just became, there were all kinds of slasher movies throughout the 80s just because what Halloween did, you know, with Jamie Lee and Michael Myers as being, you know, that menacing psychopath in the white mask that was supposed to be mimicked after William Shatner, I had heard.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it looks nothing like him.
Well, no, because they made the eyes bigger.
Okay.
And they did something with the hair. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. And then that blue jumpsuit or whatever that he wears all the time.
Oh, the boiler suit?
Yeah. It's just such a... And again, music, right?
Yeah.
And John Carpenter, he's pretty good at making that. It's Carpenter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Carpenter. I had another.
I think that was his first movie, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I was actually reading more about The Mask. I'm sorry, I got distracted on that. There was a trivia on it that they had a shoestring budget and they bought the cheapest mask they could find, which was the Star Trek William Shatner mask.
Yeah, and it looks nothing like him.
Yeah.
Which is probably great, because no one would ever watch his movies after that.
Right. Yeah, this is...
So, what was the question again?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember now.
John Carpenter, was this his first film?
Oh, yeah. Was this his first film? I don't know. I'm trying to pull up Halloween, but it keeps pulling up the new one.
Ugh.
Now my other dog wants in. We have a foster dog.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, just Google that question. But keep talking amongst yourselves.
Oh, so that sound that you hear at every haunted house, the sound of the music, you know, that piano.
Oh, my God.
It's always haunting, and actually, it's like that's Chrissy's favorite horror movie, like of all time. And usually around this time of year, she'll download the song or put the song on her phone. That's her ringtone during the Halloween season.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's done it yet this year because we're not quite there. But I know we're going to be doing some kind of Halloween stuff, so. I'm sure it'll come around. Anyway, just super creepy music. Every time you go to like Dave, you know, going to Six Flags for
Fright Night or
Fright Fest.
Yeah.
You hear that throughout the park through.
Oh yeah, you do.
Flags all the time. And every other, you know, big haunted house thing that you get to. We went to one a couple years ago that was way out in the middle of nowhere and had like, you know, six different themes to go to. It's not a theme park like Six Flags is. This was just a place where they have just a bunch of empty buildings and they set up all these mazes and creepy stuff and all night long. Oh man, it's haunting and it's so simple. It's just such a simple tune too.
Yeah,
you should learn to play that little thing on your guitar.
That would be awesome.
And just start playing it randomly once in a while.
Oh, that would creep the shit out of people.
It's like, it would. like down the hall from your husband or something, like kind of hidden in the back.
What you gotta do is get like zombie makeup on and then do that. Sitting there in the dark with like maybe like a candle and then start playing it. Yeah. That would do it.
Too funny. You guys crack me up.
But John Carpenter directed Dark Star, 1974, and then Assault on Precinct 13, 76, before he got to Halloween.
Mm. Okay.
This is what put him on the map, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then he went into things like The Fog and Escape from New York, The Thing, etc.
Yeah.
So, Rose, Halloween, what did that do for you?
Man, that was an amazing movie. I'm trying to think. I had never heard of Jamie Lee Curtis before, but I knew that she was Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh's kid. So for some reason, that was the interest there. I kind of knew the premise of the movie, but wasn't really sure. So when I was watching it, it was really kind of suspenseful, and you didn't know what was going to happen next, which is great. Yeah, because sometimes movies have a tendency to give you a little bit too much leeway into the next scene. And I think that ruins the suspense for people. You know, because if you are walking into a bedroom and then you're like, oh yeah, so this is what's happening now. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's some guy comes out from behind the door and stabs you in the back. You're like, oh fuck, where did he come from? You know, and you're screaming and they're screaming and he's dying. And it's just like, fucking hell. And it's just, then you find out, you know, what made him the way he was. You know, of course, Donald Pleasance, you know, he's in it and he's all being British and everything. And
he's a great character.
He is wonderful. I love him. But, you know, sometimes like those speeches can get a little dry. but, you know, I think that's probably why they have, you know, British people doing that. And it keeps your interest, you know, at the ready. It's like, oh, yes, please tell me more about this child's background. But, I loved it. It's one of my go-tos every year. Yes, I still hide my eyes on certain parts. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis is just amazing in it. You know, the little kids that she was taking care of. I was like freaking out for them because they're like little kids. But it's just, and oddly enough, I really didn't care about the people that were, you know, having the sex romp. You know, it was just like, you know, that's what you guys get. Sex out of wedlock. This is what your comeuppance is. But, you know, and it's not, a lot of people argued that point, you know, pretty much, you know, with just slasher films in general. It's just like, why is it always the sex couples that are getting, you know, and that's pretty much what they said, you know. So, but it's a great movie. I think I tried to watch the reboot, didn't get very far. It just didn't have that magic to it. It wasn't, you know, I think everything was riding on this one for everybody. And sometimes the smaller budget movies do the best when you don't think you have a hope in hell of getting it. any further than a few theaters, even if it's a national release. You know, it's like, because I've seen production companies spend billions of dollars on something that's flopped overnight, you know, and they have like nothing to show for it. So this is one of those groundbreaking films that's been a legacy in Hollywood for quite a few years. And if I may, Black Christmas, that came out, I want to say, was that 77?
Wow.
79? That was kind of like another kind of push to the slasher films. If you guys have ever seen that with, help me, Homegirl from Superman, played Lois Lane. Sorry.
Margot Kidder.
Thank you!
Homegirl from Superman. please don't ever change.
Which one? You're all thinking, is it the new Superman? The old Superman? Yeah, because she played like a den mother to a bunch of college girls that were going home for Christmas. And yeah, so that's one of my second favorites. But it was right there, right along with Halloween, as far as being the precursor for slasher films of the 80s. So.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't think I've seen this in forever. But what I love is what this has given us to the genre. And, you know, over the years, you've had the... Yeah, the influence, you know, like you said, you go to a Fright Fest and you hear that music and you just automatically, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, shit's going to happen now.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
You know, you've got that going on. And wasn't it in Stranger Things 2 where the one girl came out and she had like a Michael Myers mask on, or was it?
Was it the second one?
Yeah, because there
was a second season. Was the second?
Yeah,
season? Yeah, like the second first, season,
like
yeah.
First or second episode.
Yeah, they were all dressed as Ghostbusters, and then she pops out, you know, with the Michael Myers mask on. It was just like classic, dude. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Love it. You know, absolutely love that. You know, the influence that this movie has had throughout the years. And creepy as hell. And mm-hmm. I love the fact of learning that it, you know, it was a low budget film. I think that's wonderful, you know, that you can build the suspense in making something so iconic that it's like, you know, a trendsetter and, you know, being a slasher film throughout all these years, and you didn't have to break the bank to do it. So there's a lesson there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought was just really interesting was I was looking a little bit closer into the credits here, and PJ Souls, who did a crossover into Stripes. So much different role for her in that than she was when she was in Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Hold on. I gotta put you on mute for a second here.
Oh, we have a dog thing.
Yeah. Bella, come on.
All right, so I think, you know, that's really our coverage for our favorite horror movies from the 1970s. I'm very glad nobody picked Carrie, because that movie scares the shit out of me, and if we had to talk about it, I would be up all night. So thank you to both of you for that.
You're welcome.
Let's not think about it. Let's think about other things. Happy thoughts. Happy thoughts. But yeah, so this is Bonsai Retro Club, being our way of kind of commemorating the greatness that is Halloween time period, being October, and so this is what we're gonna do. We're just gonna talk about horror movies on the next few episodes and go through the various decades that we cover as we do, and have some fun with this topic. So this is the part of the episode that we remind you of all the great stuff that we have out there online, and that's through our website. That's
BANZAI, RetroClub.com. Go check all out our social media endeavors. We have links to all that stuff. We have ways that you can connect with us by leaving us a voicemail or send us a quick email. All those links are available on the website, so please go look that up and check things out, explore. Maybe one of these days we'll get back to updating our blog. Who knows? Definitely, please connect with us and send us feedback. We like to get that from you and hear what you think about our episodes. Also on the website, there is this thing called Patreon, and Scott will give us a quick lowdown on that.
Okay, real quick. Patreon is just a way to show support for the show. Show support for your show. By donating a little bit of financial help to us to keep the website up and running, because all website and storage and all that good stuff is not, it's not free, and we just it's just a great way for you guys to show that you really do love the show and you want us to keep going with it.
Very cool. And another great way to show support is by giving us a review. And Rose, why don't you tell us about that?
So iTunes has this thing where, you search for stuff that you like to listen to or watch. And if you like our podcast, you search it Bonsai Retro Club and you find it and you subscribe to it and download it and you love it. And then you tell us about it. You tell us about what you like, what you don't like. And we usually try to give people shout outs, if that's your thing. If you're another podcast, we know we're not the only ones out there. But we like to be able to appreciate our listeners and thank them for being there and listening to our podcast, because we could do this all day. Honestly, we have that much worthless information lodged in our brains.
Then we're just full of hot air. So
some of us more than others. But hey,
wait a minute. Go ahead.
You said I was talking about you. Okay. Anyway, if the hot air fits. Anyway, so Scott, thank you. From the bottom of my heart and our hearts, and leave us a review. Tell us you love us or not. We can handle it. Thank you.
All right. So this is part of the episode where we tell you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye.
All right, I have no idea how much time that took.
It was.
I don't either.
It was about 40, almost 45 minutes.
Oh, 45. Regular size episode. Sorry.
Do you think you could find the music for all three of those and just kind of like mesh them together?
Yeah, I'm sure I could.
That's kind of cool to open with that or close with it, or I don't know what we open with anymore. I haven't been listening.
I'm just trying to think of the best way that we'd be able to do that. Maybe like play a little bit of the music when we introduce each one of those topics.
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah. And then kind of fade it so it's like hanging out in the background as we talk.
Ooh, and then at the end, we need a signature scream for each episode.
Oh, like one of those. Yeah.
Blood-curdling 50 screams.
Oh, I'm sure I could find something like that online.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Very creepy. Good idea.
Thank you.
But then you're putting more work on me.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll let Rose, you go eat. I'll let Scott get some sleep.
Yeah.
Then I will mentally prepare myself for my final week of work.
You can do it.
Good luck with your last week, buddy.
Thank you.
And we'll keep an eye out for a new phone number.
Yeah. Yeah, I
sure to message us with it.
You know, and it was so friggin' awesome, these guys, because I wasn't a jerk about it at all, but I asked them. I said, well, do you guys supply cell phones? You know, I didn't want to assume. And I said, well, that's just because, you know, I use my work phone as kind of like my primary number. And they're like, yeah, we definitely. Which one do you want? You want Android or you want iPhone? And, you know, because I'm an Apple guy, I said iPhone. They're actually taking us out to dinner this week. And they're going to bring me my new phone. So they're going to take my wife and I out to dinner. So I think it's going to be in the city somewhere. And they're bringing me the phone. And I'm like, that's freaking awesome that these guys, they think that way.
Yeah.
That's a nice, that's very considerate of them.
Yeah.
So, hey, I got to go.
All right.
Good luck and keep us posted on how your job thing goes this week. All right.
We'll do.
All right, buddy.
Good night. Right. Scott.
Bye.
Night.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!